Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. We're ready to head to the Progressive Guest Line, where Keith Smith's joining us. We'll join from Front Office Sports. Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. And a reminder that drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. So the NBA heading into its second half of the season, All-Star game last night, same issues about competitiveness around, but what will the second half prevail? Keith Smith joins us again, Front Office Sports, joining us to talk a little NBA. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
All right. Is there a way to fix the All-Star game? But more importantly, does the All-Star game need fixing?
Yeah, I mean, I think the second one is the question we need to ask first, is do we need to fix this? Do we want a game where guys are going, you know, much harder than they went last night and really getting after it? Are we okay with the potential trade-offs of maybe a guy here and there gets hurt and that impacts them for real games that matter? And if the answer is yes, then it becomes, hey, how do we get them there? How do we make an incentive? And I've seen a lot of ideas out there of paying more money. I've seen make the NBA Finals home court advantage contingent. And some of those things, I don't know that they work. Your All-Stars generally are already making a lot of money, so you're going to have to make it really worth their while. The home court advantage idea, I absolutely hate. I think that's one of the stupider things baseball did, and they only went with it for so long before they scrapped it. So I'm really not sure. I kind of like the idea of maybe you try USA versus the world. If there's enough talent that way, maybe you try doing almost mini rosters in a mini tournament like they have for the Rising Stars Challenge. But it's definitely worth trying some things. But, you know, for now, it kind of is what it is.
Let me ask this, because I know it feels obvious because it's not a competitive game and it was a little bit silly and kind of out of control in terms of the players really kind of goofing off. But in the end, if it's an exhibition of stars and if people just want to see the stars do things, what's wrong with just throwing them out there for 48 minutes and just go, have a good time. In the end, who cares?
Yeah, absolutely nothing. I'm perfectly fine with that, too, with just, hey, just kind of do your thing. Just don't get hurt. Have a couple cool dunks, hit a couple half-court three-pointers, and call it a night and, you know, have some fun. But, you know, people seem to have this notion that every time they turn on any kind of competition, everybody needs to be giving their all to win it. And that's just not what the All-Star game is. And there's also a lot of today, last night it started, but today there's a lot of, well, back in my day, well, I've been watching the game, you know, in full since the mid-'80s, and there wasn't all that much competition going on in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. I mean, we all famously remember a game where Magic Johnson wasn't even on a roster that year, and he spent the last 5 minutes trying to make a half-court hook shot. And everybody
right.
just kind of had fun with it. So, yeah, if it's supposed to be a fun game, let's just have fun with it and call it that.
All right, let's get to the second half of the season. I want to start in the East, and I want to go to Milwaukee. They're 3-7 under Doc Rivers. Is this needing more seasoning, or is this kind of a real problem for the Bucks?
Yeah, at this point, I think the Bucks kind of are what they are. They made the coaching change, and that felt like one where that's not going to fix everything. You know, it just felt like that was all right, we got to do something, but it certainly wasn't going to fix everything. They have defensive challenges in that their best two defenders are Giannis and Brook Lopez. Giannis is still great, but Brook Lopez is starting to slow down. You know, it's taken a long time to get there, but starting to slow down. But their guard and wing defenders, they're generally not very good. They're guys who have, throughout the course of their career, not been very good defensive players. So that's one of their big problems in Milwaukee, and they're very dependent on Giannis and Damian Lillard at this point offensively to create everything. They're great offensive players, but if one of the two of them has even a kind of off night, it gets that much harder for the Bucks to create offense.
All right, now, given that the regular season is one thing, and then when we get to seven-game series, same team every night, trying to win 4 out of 7, when you look at Cleveland, how dangerous is Cleveland as a playoff team, as good as they've been in their number two seed in the East?
They're going to be tough, and I think last year they got some pretty good experience, and we all know the Knicks went in and they kind of bullied them and pushed them around and knocked them around, and the Cavs were out fairly early. But I think that's the experience of, for most of that roster, they haven't been there before, so that's all right, now we know what the playoffs are going to be like. So I think what we're going to see now this year is we're going to see some guys come in with a little bit of a different mindset. Their big thing is going to be, again, when their offense gets a little harder to come by, can Darius Garland and Evan Mobley step up and give Donovan Mitchell the help he needs? We know Mitchell will be there, but are Garland and Mobley going to be able to do enough? Caris LeVert, Max Strus, Isaac Okoro, those guys going to make shots? Because I feel pretty confident saying the Cavs will defend and handle their business on that end. It's going to be about them scoring enough points against certain matchups.
Over in the Western Conference, how did the Clippers integrate James Harden well enough to make it work like it is right now?
I think a lot of it is James Harden basically came in and for the first time really said, all right, I just need to be a cog in the machine. I don't need to be the guy. I don't even need chunks of games where it's, you know, this is the James Harden show time. He's really stepped in there and said, all right, you need me to be a passer and a ball mover? Great, I got that going. Oh, tonight, guy's out or a guy is off. You need me to score? I'm going to do that. And then I think it's easier because guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are there and Russell Westbrook and those guys are kind of, hey, this is our, you know, maybe our last best chance to really win one together. And Kawhi's been there. He's won one, but those other guys haven't. And I think they're in a spot where it's, let's try to really get this done. And it's been a lot of sacrifice from everybody as far as, all right, we're going to do our thing and try to make this the best result possible.
Give me the feeling of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are 3 wins away from matching the total of all of last year, but they are young and they are they're not afraid of anybody. Give me the reason why they are where they at right now.
Yeah, you called it out there. They're not afraid of anybody. They just line up and go after it. And I think the Gordon Hayward addition, and I got to, you know, almost at this point feels like a legal obligation to caveat, if he's healthy, that's going to be a huge addition for them because what we've seen teams do when they've had success against the Thunder this year is they don't guard Josh Giddey, and they make it very hard on the Thunder to create offense. So I think what we're going to see happen is if that's going on in series now, they'll just take Giddey out and they'll put Hayward in. And you have to guard Gordon Hayward. We can say a lot of other things about him, but you need to be on him. He's not somebody you can just leave open. So they fill the hole there. Their one challenge is, are they going to be able to rebound enough? Are they going to make sure they defend enough? Their defense has slipped a little bit over the last few weeks. That could be we're approaching the All-Star break thing, but those are little things we have our eye on, but they're going to be a tough out for sure.
What's the temperature on the Phoenix Suns? No pun intended, but they've been injured. They've been a while for them to come together, but what's the temperature going into the second half on Phoenix?
Yeah, really good offensive team. Doesn't play a lot of defense, and their depth is suspect. And that they tried at the trade deadline to fix that as best they could by getting Royce O'Neal, and he's certainly, I think, going to help them, but that's not going to solve things for the Suns by any means. So they've got some work to do. They're going to have to figure some stuff out still, but that's a team that when you get into a playoff series, the other side's got to look over there and say, all right, how are we going to solve Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal? Well, we got to at least shut down one of them, ideally two of them, and that's a really tall order. So now the best chance they be, just go right back at them, make them defend, and see where that goes. But they're going to be a tough out, too. The West is filled with really interesting teams, and that should make for a really fun playoff.
In
the Western Conference.
One final question, Boston. There are nervous Celtics fans. They've kind of seen this before, where the team's really good, plays well, good regular season. Then they get to the playoffs, and it's different. Is there an Achilles heel here with the Celtics that you'd be worried about in the postseason?
I think the biggest one is health. They've got to be there. They got to get there healthy. Now, they've given themselves enough breathing room at the top of the conference against the other teams where I think they're up by 6 games right now. So I think the big thing for the Celtics is they can afford to spot guys once in a while, right, and say, hey, well, we're going to give a guy a night off here and there. If somebody's a little banged up or they've got something going on. So I think the Celtics are in a really good position to make a run because they're going to get into the April, May, June time, and they should be fully healthy.
Keith Smith, front office sports on the NBA, getting ready for the second half of the season. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your week, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You got it. And as we started off with that interview, talking about the All-Star game, I think there is a question that everyone who is wanting to tackle this subject today to sort of think, all right, how to fix the All-Star game, really ask yourself in the beginning, what is there to fix? If you answer that first, and I'm not saying that there isn't an answer. There may be an answer. Maybe a game like that last night isn't good for the All-Star game. Maybe it isn't good for television viewers. I don't know. But ask that question first, because if you can't get what you want, which is a competitive game, a game where the guys take it a little bit more seriously, maybe put something on the line. If you're really not going to get them to do that, then why not just say, play to 200, I don't care, 160, I don't care, 180, I don't care, shoot from half court, I don't care. People just want to see 10 guys on the court that are the best of the best of the best. That's all they really care about. And maybe that answer is, for a lot of people, exactly what the All-Star game is.